And, I wanted to mention that I went from RG58U to RG213, and I was hoping I would get a little bit better or a little less loss. What do you think about that?
Disconnected.
Oh, without a doubt, you're going to get less loss with RG213 than RG58, particularly on 10 meters. Nice to have the antenna to a very low standing wave ratio at the favorite frequency of each one of those bands. But the day is always going to come when you're going to want to tune away from that favorite frequency in order to catch that guy in a pileup in some rare country. So, to my knowledge, you're always going to be using an antenna tuner. Nothing wrong with using an antenna tuner. If it's a good antenna tuner, it does not waste any power. If the antenna tuner has enough range, bring that antenna into a good standing wave ratio in the jack. From my point of view, you're home free. You've done 95% of anything you want to do, Roger. KJS, K2LIW.
Visiting the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater number 9126 on the New England Reflector.
Link clear.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system number 9126 on the New England Reflector.
Link active.
Newsline report number 1987 with a release date of Friday, November 27, 2015, the follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The FCC announces even more changes for its online visitors. A New Jersey...
repeater system. Time is 5 a.m. Net tonight at 8:30. W2VL repeater system.
Get about the radio. lost the radio in a box. I couldn't get the software to run on the computer and read a saved file on the computer. That was a completely different issue. I tried editing the config file so that I could try to change the band split of the radio to allow it to go down to 430, and then after I did that, the software wouldn't even launch. It gave me an error message when the software tried to start up.
Okay, maybe I'm not making myself clear. Forget about editing the frequency file. What I'm asking is, were you ever able to get your software to work properly with the old config file?
I hadn't even tried that. I was just trying stuff. I will probably wipe that software off the machine. All traces of it will be removed. I will try reinstalling it, and after I reinstall it, then I'll see if it runs. If it runs, then I'll see if I can rework the frequency file. But right now, the radio won't go below 440. So, oh well. That just means everything below 440 is NG. That's not the worst thing in the world.
Okay. Because I'm thinking it might be a combination of errors that showed up on your machine that don't show up on my version.
Like I said, it's a combination of things, but now the software won't even launch. So before, at least I could have gotten the software to launch, and the error was in when it was trying to read a saved code plug, which could all be tied together why it's failing now, but I'm not going to worry about it. It's not a high priority in my world to get that thing to work at 4:30. So I will work on it. I just don't. It's not high on my priority list right now.
Okay. If you want me to play, send me instructions. Maybe I can get it to work at my end and give it back to you, and then you can just load your code plug in.
Not a problem. The two files that you need to get to are R65.zip and R70.zip. You need to go down inside that zip archive and find the model number of the radio, open up that folder. Once you open up that folder, you need to now find the specific keys for the radio. Once you find the specific keys for the radio, it's got a list of 7 different band splits. You have to modify the band split, change the checksum to now reflect the change in the edit of the file, resave it back into the zip archive, and then copy that over the existing file in the directory called config in the program directory of the CPS software.
Okay, I got that, but I don't think I'm going to do it because I don't know what the checksum should be, and I don't know what you're talking about with the keys. It's a matter of, if you want me to try, you're going to have to email me specific instructions. But this too can wait.
Those were the same instructions that I would have done it. If you've never done this kind of stuff before, there's no way to give you specific instructions on how to search and find and change keys and stuff like that. So, yeah, what could I tell you? That's part of learning how to do what I did to make the files work.
MMY, quick comment.
MMY, go ahead.
Hey, good morning. I hear you guys every morning because I'm now going to work at about the same time. So I'm about getting up. If you want the basic instructions how to do that stuff, and I've done it before, you can go to BAT, what they call BAT Labs. It's up on the internet. It's called BAT Labs. It'll tell you how to do the checksum and all of that on any kind of Motorola radio. or even if it's not a Motorola, it's the same process. You download a hex editor, eight band splits, whatever you want to do, and it tells you to you originally read the file, it'll tell you what the checksum is. And then if you have to make some changes, it changes the checksum. So once you make the changes, you're going to go to the comments section of the file and play around with comments, because they don't hurt the radio at all. Get the checksum back to the same value that works there. But go to batlabs.com, and it'll tell you any model and how to do it in the comments. Okay, thank you, sir.
That's perfect for Motorola radios. This is a high-terror radio. Their CPS software is completely different. It doesn't use the firmware in the radio to change the band split. It uses a file, a config file that sits on your computer that you change, and then it allows the radio to go out of band. But that works for Motorola, Gary. That's exactly how you do it for Motorola. Got it? And to ZDP, and to PPN.
Well, if I had a Motorola radio, that would be great, but I don't have it. By the way, Rich, we get to the Creedmoor Amateur Radio Club where they serve...
the nuts.
We slow down almost to a halt.
Lovely.
Well, at least I was able to play straight man for you this morning.
Very true, very true. See, on Motorola radios, they save the band split in the code plug that's loaded into the radio. Hytera doesn't do that. Hytera works it the other way around. It works it in the software on your computer. So, it's just a challenge. It's not like there's tons and tons and tons of people running Hytera out there like there are people running Motorola, so... discussing stuff on certain forums in certain places is not as prevalent as places like Bat Labs and P25.org and all these other places where you can get tons and tons of information on Motorola.
Does the other station want to stay in here, or are you going to disappear on us?
Oh, okay, Roger. And I went back to listening. I got to actually get dressed. But, you know, I'm just saying, I guess from what I can tell, it's the same basic thing. I mean, Motorola thing, you know, it's got, folders, and it's got files in the folders that there is a code plug, but the code plug also reads this .config file. And it's the .config file that you modify, and you change the values in there, let's say, to go to lower frequencies if you want. And then that messes up the checksum, so you go to the comments section of the file, and you play around with that to get the hex value to be the same checksum. It's basically the same procedure. I'm not familiar with the radio you're doing. I don't know. I'm not sure what's backwards there or whatever, but you modify the file, just make sure the thing is the same checksum, and then it should load into the radio or whatever. It's the same procedure. If you wanted to get familiar, you might want to just read a little stuff on the Bat Labs. I don't know because I don't know that the software you're talking about. But I've gotten them to work by playing with config files also with certain radios that don't want to go down into the frequency. So, just a heads up. I'll go back to listening mode. So, you guys go ahead. Case 2, MMY Yonkers.
Alright, no problem, N2PPN Mobile. Alright, put your socks on. And put your shoes on. I don't know why anybody would want to listen to us while they're getting dressed in the morning. But, hey, it is what it is. So, how was your Thanksgivica weekend, Gary? Did you eat much turkey? Did you spread a lot of razzleberry dressing around?
Got together with friends. Remember I told you we have a friend who at this point used to own a deli?
You used to own a friend deli.
Well, this year I decided not to volunteer and run into the kitchen to call off the turkey. Let my friend who worked for I don't know how many years in the deli, let him try to do it. And eventually I got called, he's butchering it. So I had to go into the car again.
Gary to the rescue.
All right.
So you carved up the bird, splayed it all out. Did you put it all back on the carcass like a real professional, or did you just lay it out in a plate?
I'm like semi-pro carving. I'm not good enough to put it back on the carcass.
See, you could have put it back on the carcass. You could have impressed the heck out of everybody. Boy, let me tell you, that's an impressive thing. All right, so that was Thursday. What'd you do Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
Friday, I did some work around the house. Saturday, I had a wedding to go to. And Sunday, I kept my brother-in-law company, just recently had surgery, and his wife had to go run to her uncle's funeral. So we didn't want him laying in the house alone.
Okay. So, very good. Sounds like you had lots of excitement.
Yeah, I had some. I had to, let's see, what I had to do around the house. We found that one of my antenna wires for the TV broken, so I had to go up on the roof and put a new F-connector on that to get that working properly. And when they put in the patio, they had changed the actual configuration, the shape of the patio a little bit. So I had to go pick up some bags of topsoil and put that in. Now, that was Darren's Saturday morning. Took half the day to do that kind of stuff.
There you go. Good for you. Perfect. So now everything is good, glorious. And when you said TV antenna on the roof, you're still getting terrestrial TV? I thought you were getting your TV from the Dolans.
I am. But since I have a perfectly good aerial on the roof, it is hooked up to the main television also, so that in case the Dolans decide to pull the plug, I can do direct digital tuning.
Have a rotator on it? Because, you know, you're probably pointing in the wrong place for your old TV antenna.
And you're probably wrong. Because, yes, I did have it pointed towards the World Trade Center, but when it went down, I re-aimed it towards the Empire State Building, and to my knowledge, they haven't moved the transmitters back to the new World Trade Center yet.
How did you know that the wire was broken? Was it brought to your attention by the roofers, or was it that you tried plugging in your 1964 Philco TV and it didn't work?
Well, the 1964 Philco TV wouldn't work, period, because it only has an analog tuner on it. But that's another story. The contractor showed me that the wire had pulled out of the connector. So I didn't know if they had put up a new connector.
Nice. Did you put up the weatherproof ones with the little boot on them?
Yes, sir.
Oh, so you have the crimping tool, the lateral crimping tool, right? Longitudinal crimping tool.
Yes, I do.
Perfect. Perfect. See? Very good. That's a good thing.
All right. So, your daughter make your requested desserts?
That's right. If you were still on the Book of the Face, you would have seen, yes. Yes, she did. And it was glorious.
Okay, sounds like you overate.
about what I was doing. I didn't feel like walking away like a stuffed turkey. But I make myself laugh. And to keep me in Mobile, by the way. And Friday we worked on the vet. And let's see, and Saturday we had a kind of a quasi open house for everybody to come by and say hi and bye to Sonny Boy and Daughter Girl, who went back up to school yesterday morning. It was stuff to do, places to go, people to see.
I gotta figure out where I'm getting into this line of traffic now.
Usually it's a space between two cars that's large enough for your car to fit into.
Cut in.
Starting to emulate me and wait till the last second and then cut off a taxi cab.
Cut in front of one of those little mini school buses.
Alright, that's not really acceptable, but it'll do. Not preferred. Yellow taxi cabs or Uber cars. Those are the ones that it's preferred to cut in front of.
And I didn't wait until the very last second. But, I got in.
Sounds like a conquest to me.
So, what else is new?
Been running around looking for a vehicle for Little She, who must be obeyed.
Well, she's planning to take one up to school? Or for the summer already?
I'd like to have a vehicle up at school. And, yes, for that answer as well. She'll need something for the summer. She, is making all of these specific demands of what she wants, and we're trying to work within her demands, but also be realistic.
I take it you don't trust the toilet odor coming up there?
I trust it, but it needs constant care. It's, you know, it's a touchy subject. It needs someone who can stay on top of things and diagnose things and look and make decisions about what things are, you know, ultimately need to be done, could be wait to be done, stuff like that. And she needs less of a critical care patient. I found her a beautiful, mint condition 2004 Ford Focus sedan, not the wagon. Oh, it's not four-wheel drive.
Well, to be honest with you, up there, four-wheel drive might not be a bad idea to have.
Ben, all of the studies and the data and everything else, four-wheel drive on normal driving conditions within reason with snow tires mounted on the drive wheels in the front. Not all season tires, but snow tires performs just as well as a all-wheel drive vehicle sporting all-season tires. So she don't get that, and she's not going to be running around in blizzards. And yes, while it does snow up there considerably more than it does up here, if I put snow tires on the front of that vehicle, I don't think that she's going to have a problem. But she's got all her little friends whispering in her ears up there, oh, snow tires, oh, all-wheel drive, oh, studded snows, this and that. She has no clue what they're telling her.
I thought studded snows were illegal.
That's what I told her. I said, your friend Corey or whoever that says he's got studded snow tires on his car and he's still and he's got all-wheel drive, but he's still flopping around. I said, tell him studded snows are illegal. state of New York.
He's got studded snows on an all-wheel drive vehicle, and he's still sliding around. Something's wrong with the way that guy drives.
But I can't tell her that, because God forbid I tell her that her friends may be misinformed. So, what can I tell you? My son will, I guess, talk to his sister, and he'll quote numerous articles from everything from Essence.com to Road and Track, Car and Driver, you know, all of the car places and websites and magazines and everything else, and he'll explain it to her, and maybe she'll think twice, and she'll accept the vehicle that I found, which the guy is holding for me, pending my mechanic just getting a good once over on it to make sure that it wasn't a sandy car or there wasn't any other stuff going on with it, because the car is immaculate. It's got some miles on it, but the car is super clean and drives like a dream.
So other than if there were electrical issues with the car, how would the mechanic figure out it was a sandy car?
Can't hide that kind of stuff. There will be places under the vehicle that'll be rusted and rotted that shouldn't be rusted and rotted. There will be telltale signs. So, problem is I wasn't about to jack the car up or put it up on a lift and start poking around. And from what I saw, from what I could look at, I did not notice any of that. The previous owner to this guy lived in Shirley. And the address that was listed on the old title and the old paperwork from the car, when I Googled it up, it was north of Sunrise Highway. So I think there's a really good, very, very good chance that the car wasn't a sandy car and didn't have any problems.
Shirley, you must be joking.
Morning, Steve.
Garish, Richie, give me your hand, Kieran. Don't call me Shirley.
Hello. And to PPN Mobile on the Jackie. What's going on? And ignore that text from last night, because Gary already chided me that and reminded me that without some further hacking work, we can't go take the High Terrors down to 4:30.
Yeah, I looked at it briefly, but I didn't get into it. Okay. Very interesting, though, with the Servicio.
Now you gotta go find the code plug kidnapper and have him modify your 6550 for you.
Okay, I spoke to him during the weekend, so he's around.
You might want to have him add that in there, because that's the one that should cover us all everywhere we need to go.
Go ahead, Gary. Didn't mean to break it up, and don't call me Shirley.
Okay, Shirley. You enjoy your night shift, or is that still coming up?
No, that's over, and it wasn't that terrible.
Where were you that you, like, forgot all about his night shift? Must be down at, some people call me Maurice, he's in the noisy zone. So, I never saw any Jess photos.
Surely you, Jess. No, I didn't get any photos, but she's looking good. Place is nice. Nice and clean and big and bright. I didn't have any food, but the food's supposed to be good, and it's really not that far from me. About 5 minutes west of the New Hyde Park Inn.
Right, well, you never texted me the address, which hopefully you will in the that becomes the new church. You know, I'll go pray with you guys one time. We got a two new windows with, I was telling Gary. I may even consider
that went together pretty well. It wasn't that hard.
No, not hard at all. He's done that so many times that it was a deal for him. And interestingly, the cable, it shredded. How they can actually pull the cable. What?
Thank you.